Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
You good? Who feels like God has already been speaking this morning through worship and through your amazing message for our communion? I was just feeling fired up this morning, but now I'm really calmed down. I don't know what happened. I walked in and was like, oh, you know, and now I'm just chilled as. Hey, before I start sharing, I had a few words came to me as we were worshiping, even actually started in the prayer meeting before. And it's these three words: be seen, be heard, and be present. And I saw the vision of some people are just kind of living in their burrows, and they come out every so often and see what's going on, and they kind of go back into their own little world. But God's saying, be present. Make the most of every opportunity. Even when you come to church, sometimes we come, we drag ourselves out of bed and feel tired. But when you're here, encourage somebody. Bless somebody. Pray for someone. Buy them a coffee and ask them how they're going in their life, what's happening in their world. Be seen. Be out there. Just seek for opportunities for God to use you to share the good news. Says, Lord, open up the opportunity doors for me today in your workplace, wherever you are. And be heard. Speak the words. Ask God for boldness, because words are indispensable. We need to use them. There is a saying that, you know, sometimes we don't have to say anything to be a witness, and that's true to some extent, but you've got to use words as well. Yeah. How would they hear if you don't say anything? So be present, be heard, be seen. That's what God is saying to all of us, not just a few evangelists or people who are kind of been doing that, but to all of us. Yeah. Even if you're an introvert and shy person, God can use you, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about justice with kindness. And we're talking about the beauty of Jesus. Jesus is so beautiful. I mean, we don't know what exactly look like physically, but you being Jesus' presence, you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, and you realize how beautiful he is, how gentle and kind and compassionate and caring, healing your life, working for your good. He's so beautiful. Joe last week talked about Jesus' power with compassion. Power with compassion. I don't know about here, but at our campus, many people came for prayer afterwards. And God did some amazing stuff. Some amazing stuff. So justice with kindness. See, Christianity is unique in that God's kindness is shown through his justice. But there is no setting aside of justice to make room for kindness. They work together. You know, God is a holy God. He's consuming fire. No one can stand in God's presence and leave. That's how powerful and holy he is. You read in the Bible, accounts where people and experience even visitation of angels, and even when Moses tried to see God, but he couldn't see his face, he has to pass him by. And because God is so holy and just and truthful, and we are people that are sinners and people with unclean lips, and but yet God made a way for us so we can get to know him and be close to him and be in his presence. That's why he's so beautiful. He's powerful, but yet he's so kind and gentle. See, I hate injustice. All of my life, I think something God put in me, I cannot stand injustice. Everything in me fires up and gets stirred when I see that people have been oppressed and harassed. See injustice that is happening. But you know, without God's kindness in me, it only makes me an angry and revengeful man. And we see a lot of that in the world, where people don't have Jesus and kindness of God in them. They just lash out. You've been hurt, then you're going to hurt somebody else because you just want justice. You know, every movie that is made has been about justice and fighting about the revenge, paying back, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Get him back. But it just never ends. But God's kingdom is not like that. Let's turn the other cheek. If you've been touched by Jesus, by his kindness, we should act and think differently than the world. When I was about 8 years old, I grew up in a big country town with a lot of farming. And my grandparents had a lot of land. And there was a dispute about this land with the neighbors for years. My grandfather's father passed away when he was young, and that this land has been divided into two portions. One portion is for the other cousins, and the other portion is for my grandfather. Anyway, there were disputes about this land all the time because it's quite good land, and there were fights and arguments. And I was born into that. And as I remember as a child, there's always this fight, sometimes physical fights, that it was full on. About the boundaries being moved, and it was just a crazy world. And one particular time, my uncle was working in a field with his wife. And so they come, there's like 15 of them come and attacked him. And they stabbed my uncle with a knife. As a child, I was horrified. And there was, you know, I remember my uncle just holding onto his chest and bleeding. Now, the nearest hospital was like half an hour away at least. But no one could have taken him there because he is the one that drives. So he was just on the road there, and we were all crying, and eventually the car went past and stopped, and we taken him to the hospital. Now, my uncle had four brothers, and they're all big, mighty men, furious men. And we were so scared. Now, when the brothers hear this is what has happened, they're going to destroy this whole neighborhood. They're going to burn the house. They're going to... And we were also fearful, like my mom and my grandparents, and we were just thinking, oh no, what's going to happen next? Just living in that fear. So all the brothers came, some lived like as far as 8 hours away, they just drove straight away when they heard the news. And they were, we were always pleading with them, please don't do nothing, just let it all calm down and settle down. My uncle survived. He used to smoke, and he had a packet of smokes in his pocket. And a match, and a dagger stabbed him through that. And it's literally this far from his heart. And that's what saved his life. And as a child, living in that kind of hostile environment, it affects your life. But one thing that really affected me is that, you know, the man that stabbed my uncle didn't serve one day in jail. Because their family had people in a high... powers and authorities and the police, and they just somehow skimmed their way out of it, and it just didn't serve. He actually moved from that place far away, but there was no consequence for his actions. And as a child, I was growing up with this anger and hatred within me. My uncle is a good man. My family is a very good family, good people. But this injustice has been done, and they keep stealing the land. The story goes long before about my grandfather, but I won't go into details now. But my grandfather had to work really hard for all of this. But anyway, just feeling the sense of injustice. This is not right. I'm thinking, when I grow up, I show them. I will teach them the lesson. But thank God, you know, I'm not even there anymore. But since then, God has healed my heart and set me free from my unforgiveness. But that's how it works, you know, you see injustice, you want to fight against it, but without Jesus in us, all you have is the revenge. And then this cycle never ends. If I attack their family, they attack my family, it just never ends. And that's what we see in the world, nation against nations. Where I come from Bosnia, and there's wars all the time. And the devil doesn't even use the new tricks. He just throws them the old bone. I remember when your family killed our family. Yeah, let's fight. Let's kill each other. That's how crazy it is. The sin and injustice were punished at the cross of Christ. It's through Christ's sacrifice that God extends his kindness to undeserving sinners who look to him for salvation. God dealt with injustice and sin on the cross. Jesus paid the price for it. We don't have to fight. But we need to fight for justice through God's kindness and love. And look at the other person. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They killed an innocent man. But they have no vision, no understanding, no love of God in their lives. They're lost and blind people. See, sometimes people fight for the perverse sense of justice as well, depending on their worldview and what they believe in. In this world, we see people these days are standing up for these things that I think that is so important, but it's not truth. Now, for instance, I watched this interview recently about this guy went on the streets and asking people questions about saying, if the 10-year-old decides to have a big tattoo on their face, would you think they should ask their parents for permission, or would that be a good idea? And most people says, yeah, for sure. That is, you know, they should ask the parents. They cannot make that decision. That's a serious decision. And then after a while, they asked them the same question about, if the 10-year-old decides to change their gender, should they ask their parents? And then the people say, nah, they shouldn't, because that's different. And I'm thinking, that's the kind of world we live in. And then people fight for those sort of justice. This needs to be, you know, but God's truth, God's ways, we need to fight for that, not for the perverse sense of justice like the world is fighting for. So we need wisdom. What are we fighting for? What are we standing for? What justice are we fighting for? See, if people want judgment on people who they don't agree with their worldviews. In their own hearts, they're fighting for the right justice. But wouldn't it be awesome if God saves them and then they get the truth and revelation, and then they fight for the right cause? Because they don't know any better. They just don't see any better. That's what they understand. That's what the revelation is of this world. See, God does not operate like the worldly system, where there is no hope for the sinner. See, God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us kindness and love. We don't deserve that. We haven't earned it. We're not great. But God is great, and he's kind. In Ephesians 2, 1 to 6, this is from the Message, says, it was not long ago that you were mired in the old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with the polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's the one that God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. How amazing is that? So God brought justice by himself, through himself, for our benefit. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a God. As Christ died for sinners, he also demonstrated God's righteousness. His death on the cross showcased God's justice. See, God is just. He's not going to wink at the sin. It needs to be punished and dealt with. But God poured out on Jesus his wrath and anger against sin and injustice. Jesus took it all upon himself in your place and in my place. So we can experience God's kindness and grace and love and mercy and peace that we sing about, that we experience today. See, God fights for us furiously because of his great love. He punished Jesus for you. He poured out his anger on Jesus as the sin bearer, but shows you kindness. God is kind and patient with everyone. That's why he's not coming back yet. He wants many to come and experience his kindness and grace and love. The riches of his kindness towards us are intended to lead us to run from sin. His kindness leads us to repentance. Who is grateful for God's kindness this morning and his patience with us? In Psalm 145, 8 to 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." Beautiful. We do a Friday night outreach called Salisbury Haven every Friday at Salisbury, and we've been doing this for 12 months now. It's amazing what God is doing. And we get lots of different people there, predominantly drunk, drugged up people, sometimes aggressive, loud, sometimes even demanding, spilling stuff and messing up. It's difficult sometimes to know what to do. You know, when Jesus met the demoniac in the tombs, he came running to him. Sometimes we feel like there's some people a bit like that. How do you show and God's love, and how do you actually even connect with them to tell them about Jesus? But God can. God is able to. And we see some amazing breakthroughs in their lives. We have a worship there. We have people that are praying for healing. We had salvations there. It's quite amazing. We got up to 100 people coming there regularly. And it's kind of their church almost. They get to spend time there. They get fed, looked after, not judged, loved on. Some of them stay worship with us. We sing worship songs and they come up for prayers. And they can't wait to be there. Sometimes we just come before we get there and waiting for us. Last Friday, this new man come and he was drugged up, and I sat down with a chicken burgers. I sat down with my burger to say hello to him, mate. And I said, "What's your name? Where you live locally?" Next thing, he just flew off the chair and he's on the floor and he's having a seizure. I'm thinking, oh goodness, what do we do now? And then we have an ambulance officer on site there, so he kind of took the charge of the situation. And then he showed up, got outside, and says, no, I don't want an ambulance. No, I don't want him to test me and stuff like that. And he just went away. We're like, well, okay. But see, the people like that, they don't need judgment. They don't need to be pointed at what's wrong with them and how they messed up their lives, and they need kindness to be treated with dignity, because they're creating God's image in his likeness. Jesus died for such people. He wants us to show kindness towards them and his grace and love. That's how they're going to change. You've got to ask yourself, why are they drunk? Why are they on drugs? Nobody just starts their life and is like, can't wait to be a drunkard when I grow up. It just happens. Things in life happen. People get hurt. They grow up in certain families. The world hurts them. Their hearts get broken. They don't know how to deal with their pain and brokenness, and they turn to alcohol. to cope with it all. And then they just lose, even where they live, lose the family relationships, and they're on the streets, scattered and broken. Sometimes don't even behave human-like. But God is so kind and gracious and merciful. And he wants to set him free. And how does he do that? He's going to put his kindness in us and his grace and love to go out there and love on them. And put up with all of that and yet see them just opening up their hearts. When they come in an environment where there is no judgment and pointing fingers and just unconditional love, something does to your heart. It changes you. That's how God changed my life. I was a hard man, broken, but kindness and love and grace changed my life. People are caught up in a vicious cycle. According to Webster, a chain of events in which the response to one difficulty creates the new problem that aggravates the original difficulty. And it just goes around and around. People can't snap out of it because they're caught up in the sin in their lives. It's causing this. We know that God made a way for everyone to come to freedom from sin. His kindness is rich. He's patient with us. His kindness leads you towards repentance. And we need to show kindness towards people. See, justice alone will not bring freedom from sin. It will bring temporary relief. But salvation brings freedom. Inviting Jesus in your life brings freedom. See, there are people in jail right now who are free. Even though they're locked up, but they're free because Jesus set them free from their sins. Some of the judges that have put them there, they're in greater bondage than they are. No judgment on them though, but if they haven't received Jesus, there is no freedom from sin. We can't escape it. Jesus makes it possible. The cross makes this possible. Freedom from sin. See, the sin is the biggest, world's biggest problem. Money can't fix it. Doctors can't fix it. Judges, programs, therapies, drugs, alcohol, they can't fix it. But Jesus has a solution. That's why Jesus is not quick on judging. He sees people's lives. He knows their story. I'm not saying they're innocent, but I'm saying that they can't escape their situation that they're caught up in. Jesus is kind and just. See, Jesus didn't tell us only to work out our own salvation. If you do these things, he took the penalty we deserve. He died for us. And the justice has been done. See, his perfect judgment was never balanced by kindness or watered down by forgiveness. Instead, Jesus took all judgment on himself. He went all the way. He wasn't just just and kind. He paid a total price for us. He made justice even more just. And mercy even more merciful. So when you look upon him, you just realize, you just go, you are undone. There is no words to speak how far Jesus went for you and me. How much he endured and the price that he paid. What a great love. There's nothing like that in this world. Everything comes with the strings attached or if you go do these things, every religion is demanding something of you. You've got to perform. You've got to do these things. Jesus doesn't require any of that. He's just and kind. See, next time when you want to judge somebody, think about how you've been forgiven. Leave judgment to God. He's just. We are not. In Romans 2, 3 to 4 says, you didn't think so, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you will distract God from seeing all of your misdoings and from coming down on your heart? Or did you think that because He's such a nice God, He will let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but He's not soft. In kindness, He takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. Yes. I love that. See, God is all about justice. He was not going to compromise on that. But He leads us and walks with us to bring us that out of sinful mindset and be stained by the world and polluted by the world's doctrine. And He brings us into closer relationship. We're becoming more like Him. And He's firm with that. He's gracious and firm in the same time. That's why sometimes people think, is this so hard? We find it hard because we don't want to give up on our selfishness. We want to sit on the throne. But we're not good at sitting on a throne. We make it all about ourselves. See, there is a fine line between judging others and rebuking sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. It's unjust what it does to people. See, Jesus gave clear instructions not to be judgmental or spiritually arrogant. When you're freely, you've been forgiven, forgive. Let it go. If people have hurt you, we need to let it go. As Christians, we need to let it go. Leave it in God's hands. When I first became a Christian, first 6 months, I was becoming a little bit arrogant. You know, when you're a young Christian, you feel like God is all over you all the time. You feel His presence, and I was just feel like I was floating in the air most of the time. It's filled with Holy Spirit. I thought I knew everything. I was so special. I remember a decision has been made in the church about one elder who got stood down. I don't know why, never knew. And another man wasn't appointed to the position. But I knew the other man and I thought, this is not right. Did they know this man? I didn't like some of the things that I saw in him. So I became a judgmental. I even went to see my pastor. I went to his house and I said, look, I have an issue with this. And he was like, who's this guy? Been around just a few days. I said, well, you're making a mistake. Why are you appointing this guy? This and this and this is wrong with him. And he just stood there in his lounge looking at me like, he didn't know how to take me. I was like, okay, no worries. Well, thanks for letting us know. Anyway, I went home and I thought, oh, you know, done my thing, spoke the truth. I'm all about justice. Well, I couldn't sleep that night because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He just showed me that I was in the wrong. I was judging my brothers. I could not wait for the morning to come so I can make a phone call and apologize. I could not wait. I realized God is like, why are you judging? So I made a phone call. I went and caught up with them. I said, I'm so sorry. I just, this, like, we are so glad that God is teaching you things. God is amazing. He will teach you. He's firm. Yeah. See, people need love, kindness, and acceptance in order to change. Judging them and pointing at them, it's not going to do anything. Just get them to rebel even more. See, we are all children who want to be loved and accepted. That's what every human person needs. Your wife, your husband just needs to be loved. and accepted. And that's what's going to help him to open up. And trust is going to be built. If we're pointing finger and judging and pointing faults and what's wrong, it's just going to shut down. And see, God sees the struggle within us, but he also has a solution. He knows what to do. Just got to let him. People are broken because they've been judged and abused and mistreated, scared, unloved, all sorts of different reasons. And they're manifesting in certain ways, and you think, oh, you know, this is so difficult. But when you dig deep down, you realize how much of the pain and hurt has been done in their lives. So they don't trust people. They just isolate. See, I was a broken person like that. But God's truth and kindness and love changed me. So that lion, when we started this morning, and I had a significant dream a few years back. And in this dream, quite often in my dreams, God brings me back to my childhood, where I grew up. I grew up in this country, like I said, it's a beautiful place, big rolling hills and lots of trees. It's amazing, lots of springs and rivers. And I used to run and just felt so free and as a child. And I was brought back then in my dream, and I was running through this field, and the lion came out of these bushes. And he kept following me. And I was so scared in my dream. My heart was pounding. Tried to hide away from it. But he wasn't chasing me like roaring. He was just going after me, gently. And his eyes were just like piercing. And there was like a commanding presence about him. And I was scared. I didn't want to stop. I just kept running. And in my dream, my cousin appeared, which I grew up with. He's about 5 years older than me. He passed away about 10 years ago. He had a bus accident, and he didn't survive. Anyway, probably a few months after he passed away, I had that dream. And he appeared to me, and he said to me, "Why are you running away from lion?" I said, "I am scared of the lion. Look how big he is. Look how powerful he is." He says, "He will not hurt you. He just wants to be with you." He says, "Just let go of your fear. Just stop." So I run behind these doors in this place, and it's hiding there. And eventually I just overcome my fear. I came outside and the lion was there. And I next vision in my dream, I saw I was lying on the lion's neck, and I felt a peace. Security, presence of just calm. When I wake up, I realized that the interpretation was that lion was Jesus. I was afraid of love. That's what my issue was. You know, you're looking for love and truth all of your life, and then when it comes to you, because you develop these coping mechanisms to protect yourself. And when you were confronted with real love, you like don't know how to take it. You're scared of it. And Jesus was calling me in closer, deeper, within, with him. But I was too afraid of this majestic lion. Maybe you are afraid this morning to open up. You're not sure. We want to know the outcome, or we want to know what's going to happen if I do this. But God's saying, just let it go. The fear, trust me. That's what this whole faith is about. Let it go. Trust me. I will take you in an amazing place. Are you afraid of real love? God's love is deep and it's powerful. He will wreck you. He will just undo you. You'll be just forever going, this is just amazing. And there is more and more and more. So your coping mechanism is hurting you and keeping you away from healing. Just let it go. Kindness opens doors to people's hearts. You notice that? See, we fight for justice, but true freedom comes when people accept Jesus as their Savior. That work comes through kindness and love. We want to preach the gospel and share the good news. We want to love on people. It comes through kindness and love. And people open up and then listen because they know that you genuinely care for them. If you have agendas and what you want to achieve, people pick that up. They know. Especially little children. They're not fooled. They know who love them, who don't. Certain people, they're just like so good with kids, and other kids are like, no. They're always telling me off. Not sure. See, as Christians, God called us to be a light in the world, to love and be kind to all, even our enemies. See, sometimes the difficulty we face in being kind stems from a need to forgive somebody else. We've all been hurt at times. Maybe we're not kind because we still haven't forgiven. In Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Maybe we'll just have the worship team come up. We're just going to do some praying. I'm just realizing now the Holy Spirit is doing something powerful here in our hearts. And I want to give an opportunity to people to get healed, to be set free, to let go of things. So I'm going to ask the band to lead us in a song. And I want you to think about these questions. Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to stop judging people, leaders, churches? Maybe it's time to let go of these things.